Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. I'm so happy to have you here on this wonderful day. Joining us for a discussion on a topic that's been bounced around in the media lately. It looks like we might have a couple of 3 days on this topic so we can get to hear from different sides of the equation. What's the topic, you ask? To vaccinate or not to vaccinate? That is the question for tonight. Now, tomorrow we're going to talk about maybe what to do after vaccination, as far as, is there anything you can do if you think your dog has been over-vaccinated? A lot of states and towns have required vaccinations. So some you can't get around. But we're going to go through some articles, we're going to take a look, and we're going to see what the literature says on this very important topic. Now, as we read, like always, you need to know that I am not a veterinarian, and I am not speaking as a veterinarian. And when I read from an article, I will indeed let you know it is an article, and it's not my words, but their words. So I don't want there to be any mistake about that. And I'll put my words in. And understand that a lot of the stuff that I'm reading are just articles for public information. They're not journal articles. They're not juried articles. They're not good for references. It's just input and information that people have written about and I've read about and I thought I would share with you guys in keeping with our educational an informational format. And, of course, the desire is that we will give you some information that would encourage you to do some study on your own and thereby learn something and be a better handler for your service dog. Okay. This information is coming from Pets Advisor. So we're looking at their page. So this information is general to pets. And we can take the information and utilize it for service dogs as it applies. We are aware that many of our listeners have programmed dogs. So the first vaccinations, the second vaccinations are generally already done. You don't have a say in that. But we also have a large portion of people who have owner-trained dogs. Now, you do have a say up to what your state and county laws dictate. So we know who we're talking to. Those of you who rescued a dog or got a dog from the pound, well, the pound brings them up to date on all the shots. So again, that's like getting a program dog as far as the shots are concerned. So you have to decide ongoing what you're going to do about the shots and whatnot. All right. Title, to vaccinate or not to vaccinate. The answer is not so simple. And this article itself was written by Dr. Deborah Lynchenberg. who is a doctor of veterinary medicine. So she is speaking from the standpoint of a veterinarian, and so take the comments with that in mind to tackle this subject. It is so controversial, but I think it's important for pet owners to be educated on the subject and to know that you as a pet guardian have many options. Right out the gate, she knows it's controversial, but she wants you to know you have many options. That's good to know. Why do some people believe that veterinary profession has been guilty of over-vaccinating in the past? Most probably because this was true. But safe vaccinations and vaccination protocols for your cats and dogs do not have a very long history when you think about it. And vaccine protocols are always evolving and changing depending on changing diseases and the pet population. Think about vaccines in three categories. Rabies vaccine, the only vaccine required by law. There is a zoonotic potential, meaning humans can contact rabies from animals and the disease is fatal. Core vaccines. This includes canine distemper, feline distemper, pan leukemia, and canine parvovirus. These diseases are extremely serious or fatal and are endemic, which means everywhere. Non-core vaccines. These vaccines include canine Lyme, canine Bordetella, and feline leukemia, for example. Many factors go into deciding whether your animal needs non-core vaccines based on where you live, the animal's lifestyle, etc. Okay, now the news on this to me is only rabies vaccine is the only one by law. Now, this article was written in 2012. I'm not sure where it was written, so don't take that as the gospel. Check your local municipality to see what's required in your area. Rabies. I recommend that you follow your state's regulations on rabies vaccination. It's the law. Rabies vaccines are very safe, inexpensive, and given infrequently if you follow the guidelines. If your animal is bitten or bites someone and is not up to date on rabies, your animal will be placed under quarantine. Just recently, in my bucolic town of Amherst, Massachusetts, there lived a happy sheep on the common ground of a communal living housing development. A friend of mine thought the sheep was doing some strange wandering, so she helped it with its feed and water buckets. Next day, Mary's little lamb was salivating and circling and, you guessed it, dead from rabies. Everyone in the community who had come into contact with the sheep had to get rabies vaccine. This example is to remind us that rabies is out there. It is out there. It has not been eradicated, and we do need to be aware that it is a very serious disease, and it can pass from animals to humans. And those human rabies shots are no fun. As the animal inspector in my town, I was perturbed a few years ago when the police brought me a dead raccoon late at night. Rocky had apparently been bothering a neighbor, so the police shot him and brought him to me because there had been potential human contact I was required to cut off his head and get it to the state ASAP. This being my first raccoon decapitation, I found it a bit more difficult than I first anticipated. I cut myself with the blood-laden scalpel, trying to cut through the last vertebrae. Wouldn't you know, poor Rocky had been bothering that neighbor because he was rabid. I couldn't believe it when the state report came back the next day. Luckily, I have pre-exposure rabies and vaccines. But this stupid accident on my part did require that I go to an after-hours facility and receive a post-exposure rabies booster. I was reminded that vaccines serve a wonderful purpose. It brought back the unpleasant memory of the video where we were required to watch in vet school of a person dying of rabies. This made the lasting impression that rabies is still around and is fatal. Core vaccines. What about the basic canine and feline vaccinations your veterinarian might recommend that your pet get every few years? We used to recommend be given annually, and now we recommend they be given approximately every 3 years. Now, on this point, I'll stop for a minute, take a breath. Many articles are out there saying that your vet probably over-vaccinates your pet, your dog, more than 3 times more than what they actually need. In other words, they got you on an annual schedule when many of these vaccinations have lifetime effect and even more have, you know, periods of longer than a year, up to 3 years or better, and they don't need to be given once a year. But vets are still required. Why the change? Vaccination protocols were set in the late 40s and 50s to vaccinate yearly for fatal diseases like distemper. Studies showed that 1/3 of puppies were not protected after a year, so the yearly protocol was instituted. The vaccine was less expensive to give than trying to test teeters to see if the pet was still protected. So annual vaccination became the standard of care. Over the next 40 years, vaccination became widespread and the diseases became controlled. It has become obvious that less vaccination is sufficient for adequate protection. You may ask your veterinarian to run teeters that are available for certain diseases like distemper and parvo if you want to give the fewest vaccinations possible. A teeter is a blood test that determines whether your animal is still protected by a previous vaccine. That is an option you have. A lot of us would rather spend money on the test than to over-vaccinate our dogs. Non-core vaccinations. There are many veterinary vaccines on the market that do not have to be given to animals who are not at specific risk. A simple example is the Bordetella or kennel cough vaccination for dogs. Only dogs who board in a kennel facility are required to have this vaccination. That being said, your dog can contact Bordetella on the street, in a dog park, in the veterinarian's office, etc. The risk is simply higher in a kennel where there are lots of dogs under one roof. Talk to your veterinarian and decide if your dog should get this protection based on potential exposure. Holistic or traditional medicine. Some veterinarians and pet owners who take a completely homeopathic or holistic approach to medicine think that vaccines lower your pet's immune system or cause disease. They advocate giving very few or no vaccines at all. Traditional medicine advocates that vaccines be given to ensure that an animal is protected against serious and fatal diseases, taking into account that potential risk of the vaccination. Many of you have probably experienced a time when your pet was lethargic, even possibly running a low-grade fever after a vaccination. Occasionally, a pet has a true anaphylactic reaction and the face or the body swells, hives develop, etc. These are considered vaccine reactions and must be really dealt with. This is different from the concerns of holistic medicine, where the belief is vaccinations can do continual harm to the pet overall life. Now, in today's world, the homeopathic medicines are becoming more and more mainstream, but it is still not out there to the point where you have governmental agencies trying to tell you that you have to have this, you have to have that, you have to have the other. And this is for the greater good of the community, for what they say. But again, I'm asking you to consult your county and see what is required by law, see what's required by law for service dogs, and then have your dog treated accordingly. I'd suggest that you find yourself a homeopathic veterinarian in your area and read up on this stuff so that you're not constantly injecting your service dog with poisonous material. Herd immunity. Herd immunity is a level of immunity when a significant amount of a population is vaccinated to protect the entire population. This applies to animals and humans. If enough of the population is not vaccinated, vaccine-preventable diseases will begin to occur, and has happened with childhood diseases because of parents who declined vaccination. In 2009, we saw a rise in measles, mumps, and pertussis, which is whooping cough, because too many children were not vaccinated. In the late 1980s, when I still was in vet school, the University of Pennsylvania had a parvo ward populated with pathetic dying puppies and dogs, loaded up with IVs and monitors, medications being pumped into their little bodies. They suffered for days and often died. Many clients could not afford the treatment. Now parvo is happily a rare disease, but when pet owners decide that vaccination is not essential, the overall population is at a greater risk and more cases are seen. Parvo and distemper are rarely seen in the vaccinated population today. But these diseases are not eradicated. In areas of the country where dogs and cats are unvaccinated and the conditions are ripe for transmission, usually warmer climates, these deadly diseases are still seen regularly. Now, what do you need to do? You need to educate yourself. As a responsible pet guardian, you should think of your approach to vaccination. As a holistic but not selfish, consider the overall health of your pet plus the risk factors and go from there. Every pet owner should discuss vaccine protocols with his or her veterinarian. Vaccine clinics are going to a mega pet store where vaccines may not be helping you or saving you money in the long run. Whenever I see a receipt from clients who went to a vaccine clinic or corporate veterinarians for their vaccines, I believe they have often purchased unnecessary vaccines. If the veterinarian has not discussed core versus other vaccines with you, he or she has done you a disservice. Don't purchase bundled vaccines. Vaccinations should not be picked from a shopping list. You need to discuss pros and cons and tailor a health plan for your pet with your vet. You are not going to be able to do this in a vaccine line at a Love My Pup Pup, where they do not love your pup. They love your money. It says in bold here, vaccinate when indicated and develop a complete wellness plan for your pet. That sounds like good news to me. Take the Lyme vaccine, for example, one of the most controversial vaccines. Lyme is not a big problem in some parts of the country, and the vaccine is not 100% protective. So why would you get your Maltese, who lives in a non-endemic area and spends 80% of its time in an air-conditioned room, a Lyme vaccine? But maybe you own a Labrador in the Northeast, an endemic Lyme area. Buddy the Lab gets covered with ticks 10 months out of the year and spends 90% of his time running with deer and mice. I think a sincere discussion about the pros and cons of Lyme vaccination is appropriate. What about feline leukemia vaccine? I have many cat owners who want to do the best for their cat. The scenario, and we're going to skip this because this is about cats and we're all about still cats. Bottom line for this writer, let me close by saying I have seen three little litter mates die of parvo, a tiny pet store puppy die of kennel cough related pneumonia, and shelter cats die of distemper. I have seen adult dogs die of parvo and distemper because their owners never had them vaccinated. These are not pretty deaths. Prolonged respiratory, gastrointestinal signs, seizures, coma, death. When you think we have the knowledge to prevent this suffering, I am pleased that my owners 99% of the time do the right thing. Vaccinate when indicated and develop a complete wellness plan for your Snoopies, your pumpkins, your Fidos, and your muffin tops. Sleep tight. And don't let the preventable diseases bite. Well, there you have it. Nice and to the point. Article written for Pet Advisors from Dr. Deborah Lichtenberg. And again, she's a veterinarian. This is what she studied. Sounds like a well-balanced veterinarian. She's saying some vaccinations are important. Some are required by law. Some may be important depending on where you are, or may not be needed depending on where you are. She's saying that it has been said that veterinarians, a lot of them have over vaccinated your pets. Now, as much as people care and love their pets, we as service dog handlers really need to be aware of the vaccination issue. And this is why I said it before you today. Because I want you to take a look at it I want you to consider your area. I want you to consider the rules and laws of your county. I want you to consider what the ADA says about service dogs and what they might need. And I want you to consider your ideals and how you feel about this whole entire discussion, and discuss it with your veterinarian. And if your veterinarian is not willing to discuss it with you, or if they are emphatic about, no, you need all these vaccinations every year, then you may need to get another veterinarian. And I would say, look for a homeopathic or a holistic veterinarian. That's just my advice, my suggestion. Now, tomorrow, we will talk about possibly detoxing your service dog after the vaccinations. That's going to be interesting. It's going to be exciting. I look forward to being here with you to do that. Just want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for liking and sharing this broadcast with your friends so that they can listen in the podcast. Thank you for actually pressing the follow button on this broadcast. Thank you for suggesting topics, suggesting guests that might be good guests for the show. And thank you for contributing to the show. We can't do it without you, being as this is a listener-supported broadcast. So please give if you can. The information to give is right there on the program. You can give through PayPal, and we certainly appreciate it. Take care, and we will continue to upgrade our system as the funds come in, so we'll have a better system and get back into a better time slot. I want to say God bless you. Be good to yourself. Be good to your service dog. Be good to one another. Share these programs in your groups so that more people can get to listen to these. Thank you very much. Be blessed. Have a great day.